And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Episode 85 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by you. You guys are patrons. Your amazing contributions help make this show possible. And we recently hit our latest goal. So Blake, believe it or not, is going to be reading the first book of the Outlander series. So thank you. And if you want to become a patron and receive the benefits like getting episodes before wide release, monthly chats with Mary and Blake, and free Outlander t-shirts or having access to our show notes, please consider donating a dollar or two at patreon.com/outlandercast today.
Claire, it's a baby girl.
Oh, you're so cute.
We're going to be all right. I promise.
Mom and Daddy, give me a kiss.
The bargain was that we raise this child together, and you will not let me in.
You asked me to leave behind everything that truly mattered to me.
Oh, that's wonderful, darling.
Wish away.
You couldn't look at Brianna without seeing him.
What is it that you want from me?
I want to know when you're going to come back from the past.
I've come home.
You are under arrest.
Jenny, no!
Put him in the irons.
I spoke to you of my wife. He said she was dead.
He said she was gone. She's truly gone.
We have to establish that Jamie's alive. There must be records.
We will find him.
Twenty years ago, I shut the door on the past. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I can't go through that again. I found him.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. Hey, everybody, and welcome. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am never, ever, ever going to give up on Team Frank.
Not after that trailer.
Definitely not after that trailer.
You know who else
isn't? Specifically because of that trailer.
Right? Ron Moore is blowing book readers' minds with that trailer.
Good.
You know nothing, Jon Snow, Blake
Larson. Don't care.
Those of you who are brand new to Outlander Cast, I've read the books. Blake has not. So this episode is going to be spoiler-free, but I'll tell you this. If you are someone who is a book reader and you have not yet checked out OutlanderCastBlog.com, our associate editor, Janet Reynolds, wrote an amazing breakdown piece that did have some spoilerific stuff in it. So if you wanted to oogle and doogle on that.
Oogle and doogle.
Did you like that? Thanks. Made that up. I was really proud of myself.
Yes. But yeah, so you know what? That might actually... That deserves two.
Thank you. But yes, I mean, even for our friends who have not read the books, this is a lot. This is a lot to take in. Blake, how do you feel? Like you... you've been waiting for something like this. And I know,
yes.
You know, just the season being what it is, the Game of Thrones trailer came out recently, but right before the season started. And you said, gosh, I hope Starz does something like this, that Starz does something that moves you.
Right.
Did this move you?
Yes, 100%. Now, the Game of Thrones trailer for season 7 was perfect. And because it included everything that makes Game of Thrones awesome. Dragons, all that other stuff. But most importantly, while there was action, it was rooted in the characters. It was rooted in everything that made the show relevant and mm-hmm. why you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what Outlander did?
Tell me, baby.
The same exact freaking thing.
Yes, it did.
But on a different level. Not saying that it was better or greater, but it was just rooted in the character motivations.
Yeah.
Last time we did a trailer breakdown, not the season 3, but season 2. I remember, and by the way, the season 2 trailer breakdown, I was right on pretty much everything that I suggested. So, you know what? Just for that.
Bam! A winner.
I just have to say that because I was pretty freaking awesome in the last trailer breakdown.
Yes, you were.
And at that time, I gave the season 2 trailer 4.8 kilts. Looking back on it, it was a great trailer. I felt like it was a trailer that was tailor-made to make season 2 look phenomenal. Because it was very pretty, it had sci-fi elements,
mm-hmm.
it showed some love, it showed the heartbreak, it showed Claire after she lost faith, like we had that vacant look from her. There was also like this mystery of like, okay, Claire's pregnant, she's not pregnant, okay, she's in Scotland, she's in France, why is she in France, why is she in Scotland, why is she not pregnant?
All confusion.
And then we had the whole thing with Murtaugh, knowing that Claire was now from the future, and he was confronting her about that. Like, oh my God, I wouldn't want to have that burden.
Mm-hmm.
And it tailor-made to everything about Claire being from the future, coming back into the past, and then we have the whole thing of Jamie being like, oh, is that even possible? Like, it was a nice trailer, and
yes.
I gave it 4.8 kills. So I was very happy with it at the time. But looking back on it, it was kind of like putting lipstick on a pig.
Oh my God.
Okay. And it's not to say that season 2 wasn't good. It was okay. Like, it was good. Like, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Hated France except mm-hmm. for Faith. And then the back half of season 2
there
made
was a
it
lot
perfect.
Of France to love. I think you're just
I disagree. I really do.
Mother Hildegard?
Nope, don't even care.
Oh my God.
Cuz she's in and out. See you later. Like, don't even care. Like, I'm sure a lot of people love her and I get that. I appreciate that. Bouton, the dog. Okay, I get it. Everybody has attachments to certain characters.
You
totally
didn't like
it.
the Rent-A-Dildo, though.
I did not like a Rent-A-Dildo.
Still, what is going on?
Didn't like the king going on the potty. Like, what are we talking about?
There were several crass things in season 2.
loved the Compte. Loved Stanley Weber as the actor.
Yes.
Handsome man.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, whoa.
Wee.
Like, calm down, handsome. But there was nothing to him. Other than, I'm just pissed off because you ruined a bunch of my goods and I'm going to kill you now. Like, that was not... Okay, but this isn't a season 2 trailer breakdown. This is a season 3
trailer
breakdown.
So what is your kilt rating
well,
for
let me,
this?
Well, let me finish.
Oh.
What I really like about this trailer is that it's showing an actual conflict. It's not relying on these gimmicks like season 2 did. It's not relying on fireworks and, oh, here's Versailles and, oh, here's the king and here's the Compte and, oh, my God, it's the dinner and Jamie's beating people up. And no, it didn't rely on any of that. It wasn't showy. It was all based on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember in season 2, I kept saying, oh, my God, the plot is driving the story forward. And you never, ever want to have the plot drive the story forward. You always want the characters to drive it forward. And this trailer is a perfect example of character driving the story forward.
Hear, hear.
And that is why my official kilt rating for the season 3 trailer, you ready for this?
Yeah.
5 whole kilts. 5 whole freaking kilts.
Yay! Welcome. Welcome to the 5 Club.
Absolutely fracking loved this trailer because there's an actual reason for this season to exist. That Claire is in the future. She has this marriage. She is raising Brianna, and she misses Jamie, and she wants to go back, and maybe she does go back. But in the meantime, she has Frank. She has to deal with that. He has to deal with her. And it's making Frank a viable character. And of course, everybody is all over Ron Moore for giving Frank screen time.
I don't think everybody is.
Oh, I think a lot of people are.
A lot of people are because Frank in the books is portrayed very differently.
But I don't want to hear that. I
know you don't, but I'm just telling you because you're saying people are open arms. That's why. Because Frank that we've known for decades is now different.
But you and I both know that the show and the books have to be considered separate entities. And it's not just like I'm making that up, okay?
Yeah, I know.
Fact, not opinion, all right? And I say that because the show has told you they're separate entities. So because of that, you kind of have to go along for the ride.
I'm on that ride.
So
Bring it on.
What do you got for your kilt rating?
What do you think?
Well, you know what? Maybe it's just for posterity, okay?
Five times five, 25.
Why do you think you're giving it a 25 kilt rating?
Because
which
I've watched
is the first
it,
time in our history.
Because I've watched it, you know, at least 105 times, and still, I get goosies.
Yes.
I get goosies when I watch it. And you know, I want to know something, and this is going to shock a lot of people. It's not even the very end. It's not even that very end after the title comes up, and there's that little bell, and there's a little sign, and Claire's walking around. She touches her hair in her only way that Claire can. That's not even it.
What is it?
It is the feelings.
Right. Well, what?
All the feels, Blake.
What's the one thing, if you could pick one thing that you get out of it, what's that one thing for you?
Longing.
Oh, okay.
Do you like that?
I do like that.
Yeah.
And what about it shows longing for you?
Oh God! First and foremost, Frank. Shout out to Frank.
Oh.
Serious, and I'm giving it up for Frank because you haven't been able to give it up for Frank as a book reader. And this trailer shows Frank longing for Claire, longing for some sense of normalcy, longing for the family that he always dreamed of, longing for that relationship to come back that he once had with her.
Mm-hmm.
You see Claire the entire time longing for Jamie, longing for the world that she left.
Yep.
And of course, Jamie, I'm home. And he's talking about Claire, saying she's not dead, saying she's gone. The longing there. And there's a few other longings that I can't say to you out loud, Blake, but there are a few other characters who are longing in this trailer.
Yep.
That my fellow book readers are going to say, mm-hmm. Nice word choice, Mary. Nice word choice. So, yes. So longing is the word. Gave me all the feels. I have goosies the entire time. Let's jump into this kind of little bit by little bit.
All right. So you ready to get into the actual analysis of this fantastic freaking trailer?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So the first thing, a baby.
Right.
Okay. Gives me anxiety already because I'm still.
I got PTSD still.
Still from our children
from
being born.
Both our kids.
Yeah. But anyway, we hear a baby cry. This is the sound that Claire has wanted to hear forever.
Oh, since Faith.
Right?
And that's a big freaking deal because she kind of wakes up in a tizzy. She's like, oh my God. And to me, it feels like maybe. Just maybe,
yeah.
She's having a PTSD moment of herself here, or for herself, because of Faith. She's waking up oh my God, where's my kid?
Well, and also, birth in a different day and age might have been different. We don't know how her birth is going to be portrayed, if at all. But Claire's knocked out, and he has to say it's a girl, meaning Claire wasn't actually cognizant of the fact when she gave birth, whether it was a C-section, whether she was highly drugged. I don't know.
Right.
But Claire, was literally not really with it.
Well, let's talk about the differences, too, because when you gave birth to Reese and Felicity,
yes.
Godzilla and our little lass, you know, the baby was put right on your chest immediately. Mm-hmm. And here's Frank walking in, clothed. The baby's already got the wrap around it. Oh, it's a girl. Hey, how you doing now?
She's nice and clean.
I know. Like,
but birth in a different time was different.
I agree. Oh,
and Claire's birth was probably like high risk. So we don't really know what's going on. And I don't know how much they're going to go into that. But the fact that he gets to announce that she's a girl. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they decided to have it this way because you know how traditionally now, like if it is a surprise birth, the dad catches the baby. It's covered in disgusting stuff, umbilical cord, all sorts of liquids. And then that's when they hold the baby up and they say, yeah, it's a girl. Maybe they didn't want to portray that.
Probably
on TV.
Not. I don't think they're ready to show that.
And they thought, you know what? Let's just have a really clean, swaddled baby.
Although if there was any show that would portray it, it would be Outlander. Right?
but on the other hand, too, I still feel like this is very removed. The fact that they did it this way and they wouldn't do more of the modern approach where the dad is like fully up in it and catching the baby and being there. This is Frank dressed, looking still put together.
I feel like he walks in with like a tweed coat.
Like seriously, like were you here? What was going on? But it makes me feel removed. Whereas Claire's there lying down, a very like not Claire position. Because Claire's always up, Claire's always moving around, Claire's always taking care of things. And yet Frank gets to be the one that tells Claire it's a girl. And right. how huge is that? How huge? Claire has not known the sex of her child.
Right.
And Frank, not the actual father of her child, Frank gets to come in and say, Claire, it's a baby girl.
Oh, man. And especially after Faith and knowing that she did have a girl and it was with Jamie. And again, I can't reiterate this enough. Waking up without her kid, probably, and again, in my eyes, waking up from maybe a nightmare, maybe a bad dream, maybe something like, oh, my God, my kid's dead, or going back to Faith. It's a huge deal.
Yes.
And now, again, she's awoken by Frank. Huge deal.
I do need to know, in that scene, I was very happy to still see baby bump underneath the blankets because
yes.
I hate when TV and movies, when someone has a baby and they look like...
and then they got a washboard stomach.
Yeah, I'm like, that is not real life.
Too much stuff is still there. Like
Everything pretty much is still there. So thank you. So yeah, it's a baby girl. Claire looks at this baby who has reddish hair, reddish little peach fuzzy hair, all clean, of course, and says, you're so beautiful.
Right. And she just looks at that kid like, oh my God, this is my one connection to Jamie. But the really cool thing that happens is that Frank comes into the picture and she lovingly gives him a kiss, like a very warm-hearted, welcoming kiss after he says, we are going to be all right.
We're going to be all right.
That, oh my God. And this is why I love Frank. I do, because he takes in Claire after she disappears for however long it is. She comes back pregnant with another man's child. And yes, last season, we all saw that heartbreaking moment when he thinks it's his kid
for like
and it's not.
Second,
and then he breaks all the stuff, you know, in their room and it's all heartbreaking. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. But here he is in this birth and saying, we're going to be all right. It's no matter what, everything's going to be cool between you and I with this baby. Our family's going to be perfect.
In that shot when Claire is holding Brie and she says, you're so beautiful, you get to see the ring.
Really?
And it's the gold ring.
Oh, that is great.
And I like really love that because...
I'm very proud of you for picking that out. I didn't even see that.
I'm
the nerd
rings.
About this stuff.
I'm all about her rings. Because I feel they... Whether they've... I'm amazed nobody's really come out and said, like, do you guys pay attention to like what hand is in front of which or like what hand? Maybe it's Katrina just doing it, but I doubt it. I mean, but yeah, in that shot, you're going to just be seeing Frank's ring on her. And I love that exactly. Right after that, he says, we're going to be all right with a little smooch.
And this great kiss. And I'm like, at this point, I'm very happy for the two because it feels like they have this little nuclear family that is going to be okay.
Yeah.
And when you hear Frank say, again, my man crush on Tobias Menzies after this trailer has skyrocketed.
I bet.
It like I just said nuclear. No. My man crush has gone nuclear on Tobias Menzies. That's all I got to say.
So, because here's the thing. She thinks Jamie is dead at this point.
Sure.
Like 100%.
Well, no, he is dead. No matter what. He is dead.
Oh,
D-E-D,
yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. You're right. He's dead. He's gone. She did love Frank. And in this moment, we see the love again. We see Frank trying. Frank literally is the one to announce that it is a baby girl. And then he is the one that leans in and says, we're going to be all right. So all the feels for Frank, you know, like, okay, putting Book Frank aside, this is a good guy in this trailer.
Right. Like, right. He is.
And, like, I am proud of you, Frank.
And I'm almost kind of upset with Claire. Mm-hmm. For how she acts. Like,
yeah.
To me, it seems like Claire is too busy for him. Like, she is there and he loves her. He loves Brianna. Mm-hmm. Like, he is massively in love with Brianna. The irony is that it's not even his kid, but whatever. It's okay. It's part of Claire and that's what matters most. She feels like she doesn't even have the time of day for Frank. And that is so upsetting. Yes, I know you love Jamie. I know this is Jamie's kid. I know that Jamie is the freaking king of men. I know that Frank is not him. Frank's a little nerd boy with a tweed coat that comes in presenting your baby. I get it. But this man loves you. And it's clear that he does.
Yes.
In this trailer, it is clear, and even beforehand, in the season two, clear that he loves her.
Like, this trailer makes you want to sing the song, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you might just find you got what you need.
Right.
You know, I agree with you. That is one thing. We'll get to that. Whatever, I'll say right now. The thing that I didn't like about this trailer is I didn't love Claire. But on the flip side, throughout it, I mean, maybe not every listener's been in a situation, but some of you have. Maybe there's been someone who has loved you or said they loved you and tried desperately to win over your heart, to spend time with you, to date you. Mm-hmm. And there was this little thing inside of you the entire time that was like, no, you're not it. Mm-hmm. You're not it. And maybe you ended up with that person. If so, I'm sorry. Maybe you
knew. Wait, are you trying to tell me something here?
No, not you, Blake.
Okay, good.
This is how I felt about other people when I was like, you're not it. No, but I'm just trying to say, like, this trailer didn't make me love Claire, and yet it also humanized Claire. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, she's with Frank, and it's not that she's mean. It's not that she doesn't appreciate him, and he was a great dad to Bree, but it wasn't it.
But I just, one of the things that bothers me about the trailer, and specifically Claire, is, again, I feel like she doesn't have the time for him, and she is like, cold, man. Like, especially later on when they show her with a cigarette and she's sitting there and he's walking up the stairs. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is like that's like Godfather stuff. Well, like, whoa.
Next we get to Boston, your favorite.
By the way, BT Dubs, not Boston. Definitely not Boston.
No, that's
England or whatever. I don't know what that is, but that.
What is that supposed to be? Is that supposed to be like.
Maybe that's supposed to sub as Cambridge because that's where Harvard is.
Like, those brownstones don't look like Cambridge.
No, that is not.
I was thinking, what's the one that begins with a B? Brighton?
That's definitely not Brighton.
What's the one that's on the T near Cambridge?
Brookline.
Brookline. Yes. That looks like kind of Brookline to me.
I may go with Brookline on that, but...
That's where I was feeling.
That's not...
I may or may not have hung out in Brooklyn.
Brookline. When did you hang out with Brookline?
My friend Julie lived there, the one that introduced me to Outlander.
All right. Fine. I'll accept that answer.
I had many fun nights there.
Okay,
so we see this quick little shot, and of course, we get Frank saying, come to daddy, give me a kiss.
Oh, with the little
so
baby Brianna.
Happy, yes, and Claire's so happy, and it's just this like, but it's like not really a happy, like she's like smiling, but it's kind of like.
Oh God, this sucks.
You just said daddy.
You're not daddy.
That's what I think got me. That was the moment of like, yay, but you're not daddy.
And you know what? Like, inwardly, I can understand that reaction from her because you're not daddy. But the kid looks like to at least be, what, 6-7 months here?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, the guy's been there with you. He's probably changing diapers left and right. And he's going to swimming lessons. And
I was just thinking, yes, I'm so on board with that because he's topless. And I was like, oh my God, Frank's doing skin on skin, except Bree's wearing a shirt. But I'm like, maybe that's why he walks around the house, because he wants skin on skin contact.
By the way, remember the time that we took photos with Reese and he was a little baby and you had me take pictures of Reese with me skin on? Oh my God.
It's some of my favorite photos that I will
use. That picture will never, ever see the light of day.
It will at Reese's wedding.
No, it won't. No, it won't.
Topless baby. Topless dad.
I don't care how much money we would get from Patreon.
All the endorphins.
I would never, ever, ever, ever have that photo
it's
out in the public eye.
One of my favorites.
Oh, my God. Here, though, the next shot is of Frank.
Not happy and not topless.
The bargain was that we would raise this child together, and you will not let me in. This is my favorite shot of this trailer, because his face is, oh, Tobias Menzies just gets it, just gets it. And he has this face that can emote a certain anguish, like even with Blackjack Randall, there was a certain amount of anguish in everything that he did. And it's not always anguish. It's not always like, it's not always pleasure. It's not always anger, but it's just this level of intensity.
Yes.
That Tobias Menzies can emote through his face. My favorite shot and my favorite line, all of it, the whole thing. Just thank you very much.
Then it heads on over to Claire with a little cigarette. And
this is her Godfather moment.
Oh yeah. In her very like posh outfit. Cause Claire's always styling.
Right. Oh, styling to the freaking max.
I mean, and
until she has crazy hair later on.
What do you mean?
Well, you'll see. We'll talk about it.
Listen,
we'll talk about it.
What happens in your household before you get judged up should not be thrown all over the place. That crazy hair, but that's real life. Okay. People have moments like that, as you know. But there she is, sitting with her
every
cigarette.
Every moment of my life.
Sitting there with her cigarette and her
ripping
like,
butts.
Perfect little outfit. Not happy.
Not a happy person. Frank's walking up the stairs and she's like, she's not having it. Like she, this is like I said The Godfather a couple of times here. This is like Michael Corleone like getting his ring kissed as he shuts the door on Kay, spoiler alert, at the end. Like this is, whoa. Or like Michael trying to like give the order to kill Sonny, kill Fredo. That kind of look, like, oof.
You asked me to leave behind everything that truly mattered to me. Claire.
Implicit in that comment is that she's saying anything that actually mattered to her is now gone, which means, on a very specific note, Frank doesn't matter to her. Okay, okay.
Yep. Yep.
But then. Even then, the Brianna, like
this trailer was not nice to Claire.
Not kind to her.
Like we get it, okay? You love Jamie. We understand. We understand Claire, but that was just a little mean.
That was pretty awful. Like, and you know, you obviously you say things, you know, when you're angry that you don't necessarily mean. And,
exactly.
And I can appreciate that.
And this was one of those moments. But then we saw poor Frank.
Oh, no, no, no. This is when crazy hair.
That's crazy hair.
Yeah, crazy
she's
hair.
Like, you asked me to leave behind everything that truly mattered me.
Right. Sorry. I apologize. But I just wanted to mention that this was like
yeah,
whoa.
That's real life. It's probably humid. Austin gets humid.
And then, yeah, you're right. Frank. Frank, I've looked at this photo very carefully.
Have you? I believe that.
I have because
I know.
Team Frank.
I believe it.
He is not sleeping in a bed. He's sleeping on a couch.
Yeah, because it's like one of those like woven fabriced ones.
Right. And it looks like the kitchen is behind him. So that means he is sleeping on the couch. Claire has kicked him out of the bed.
Or he's left.
He
could leave. He could be a sad person who's just like, you know what?
I don't see him leaving. I see him leaving.
Do.
I see Frank leaving if it gets to the point where there is nothing left. Like if Claire pushes him away
that's
so much so far that he is just like, all right, I can't do anymore. Or when Brianna grows up and there's just
grows up
and yeah, that's what I'm saying. Grows up and maybe she's moving out and okay, his job is done. It's time to go. Because Claire has a loveless marriage with him. That's how I interpret it.
I think he left the bed, or maybe he was just staying up all night thinking, should I go to bed?
Well, he was staring at that clock for a little bit, and they made, you know, obvious, you know.
3 a.m. 3 a.m. was that clock.
And a great time reference, too, obviously, going, you know, going back to the fact that Claire has gone back in time. Perhaps he wishes that he could go back in time and prevent Claire from going to those stones and his life would be happy. And instead of this being Jamie's daughter, it is now his daughter. I mean, the specter of Jamie is haunting this entire first half of this trailer. And again, I can't restate this enough. I feel so bad for Frank. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. This whole conflict is what makes me want to watch this season.
I'm happy
so
about that.
So badly.
So next we get to see Brianna hand a little like piece of paper and
Claire with like 60s hair.
Very, very 60s hair.
Yes.
That's wonderful, darling. And they smile at each other. They smile at each other so nicely, whereas mm-hmm. we had this like not so happy moment.
So we're seeing like this definite up and down relationship that they have between the two. Perhaps it is a fake moment for mm-hmm. Brianna. Maybe it is an actual genuine moment between the two. I'm not sure.
What are they having for breakfast? So it looked like sausage on toast. And is it a slice of tomato?
I'm going to go with a bagel.
What is that red thing?
And there's a black thing that's there too.
Is that a slice of plum?
I don't know what that is.
British people eat the most interesting breakfasts.
Weird stuff.
You know,
man.
I was a nanny for British people, which I know sounds backwards. It was backwards. But what are they eating?
I don't know, man. Weird British food.
I see sausage, but I think it's tomato.
All I know is that they took out everything that was on that plate and they boiled it. And then they just put it on the plate.
Oh, but this is when they were in Boston.
Yes.
So what do Boston people eat that might look like that?
Boston people eat pancakes and eggs and bacon.
Okay.
Maybe a sausage. We'll throw that in there.
There you go.
Hey, maybe we'll get a bagel, too, while we're at it.
Wish away. Frank is telling Brianna.
Oh, the meta level on this entire line here is... It stands for everybody. Wish away. Wish away the fact that you weren't here, Claire. Wish away the fact that I actually loved you, Claire. Wish away, Brianna, that you can do whatever you want. Wish away. I hope you stay with me. Wish away. Like, wish away. The whole thing just applies to all of them.
And this is my favorite makeup shot, just so you know. Brianna's eyebrows.
Oh.
On point.
Stunning.
And
she got her... That's like...
That's...
What's that thing where you get your hair pulled out by the...
Threading?
Threading, yes. Threading is evil. I've been threaded. It was horrible.
We see Brianna at her high school graduation, mm-hmm. and Frank calls Claire out saying, you couldn't look at Brianna without seeing him.
Oh, man.
And then Brianna smiles and turns around and looks...
And I get it.
Just so dashing.
I get it. I can see why... You know, you would see Jamie, and she is the perfect, like, when you look at her, she is the perfect amalgam of Sam Heughan and Katrina Balfe. Like, I think that this is their actual baby. I'm just throwing that out there. Like, they had a baby.
I would hope not, because that means they would have been a baby when they were babies.
And, like, they aged her, like, in a mutant kind of way, so that they had her for
in
Outlander.
In a Petri dish?
In a Petri dish.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, they did a great job with casting.
Right.
Claire then yells, we're back to that fight. What is it that you want from me? And Frank finally says, I want to know when you're going to come back from the past.
Oh, my God. Frank. Frank, my darling.
Quick shot, of course, to a Scottish flag.
Right. And it says, I'm not going to... Nemo me impune.
No one attacks me with impunity.
With impunity, which means, like, you can't get at me without repercussion, essentially. So, I mean, that too is a meta level there. I mean,
look
for Frank.
That. Look at them like throwing that, like, as you said, meta thing inside a little trailer.
Because here is Claire essentially attacking Frank. And it's like, okay, you can't do this without any repercussion. Like, mm-hmm. you there's going to be problems. And what do you think's going to happen? I really like that too.
So next we see Lollybrock, and right. I loved seeing smoke come out.
Right. So it gives you as the viewer
First,
an actual opportunity to say, okay, now we're back in time.
Yes.
This is not... We're actually using this castle now.
Exactly. All Things right. are going on. And Jamie comes back home, and he's so excited.
He's all half-geared. And this is the halfway point of the trailer. This is the turning point of the trailer, which I don't think it's coincidence that they throw Sam Heughan coming back into Lallybroch, and then, of course, getting pinned in by some British soldiers that just happen to be hanging out at Lallybroch. And you see then Jenny, of course, who has this look of like...
Sadness.
And, you know, this is not something that you put in a trailer. You don't put Jenny's reaction. You don't implicate Jenny giving Jamie up to the British in a trailer. That is something that you reserve for the show. So, again, like I said last time in the last trailer breakdown of season two, Ron Moore, wicked smart guy.
Yes.
Wicked smart.
Yes.
He doesn't let anything go without you wanting to see it, without him wanting you to see it. So if that were the case, that says to me, Jenny is in on it with Jamie. Meaning, Jamie must want to get caught by the British so that his family, Jenny and Ian and everybody else, won't get arrested by the British. They could live without their lives. Because he's probably got nowhere to go after Culloden. He's obviously survived Culloden here. And he obviously does survive Culloden because we see proof of that later on the trailer. So he probably wants his family to be safe. And if he survives, he needs Jenny and everybody to be okay. And the kid and all that stuff. So Jenny is probably in on it. And that look that she's giving isn't of like hatred. It's not of like disappointment. It's not of, I'm sorry, but like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but I have to do this for my family. Mm-hmm. This sucks. I hate this, but we got to do it. And Jamie's in on it because look at him. He's like walking up. He's like, I'm home. Look at me. Like, this is Red Jamie, dude. You, like, you can't just walk in and be like, hey, everybody, I'm home. Like,
all he needed was like a band.
Right. Like, seriously.
Like a Louisiana, New Orleans style band to just lead him into home.
You know, and then, of course, he says, oh, Jenny, don't. And she has the look. And that to me is all theatrics. And there is zero chance Ron Moore lets you know Jenny gives him up in a trailer. You don't do that. Like, it'd be one thing for RDM to show him get caught at Lallybroch. Like, he walks in, he's like, all right, I'm home. And then and then all of a sudden the British soldiers show up and then he gets taken away. But to show Jenny, that is a very specific clue to
all
me.
Right. Then we see him pulled away. Bye-bye, Jamie. You're going to follow a horse that must be very stinky. And we see him talking to a red coat.
This guy seems to me to be pretty important.
This is Lord John Grey.
Oh.
Who is like big deal in casting for those of you who have not read the books.
Okay.
So he's a big deal. So that's why he got a little shout out here.
He's a handsome man too. I'm not saying Stanley Weber handsome, but he's pretty freaking handsome.
So I spoke to my wife. John says, you said she was dead. And Jamie says, I said she was gone.
And she's truly gone. And then you have that great shot, second favorite shot of this trailer.
Yeah.
Jamie looking out after touching the thistle, or whatever, the heather, whatever it is. And then his face, like, it's obviously a raw moment. Mm-hmm. Something is happening here. Maybe he is traveling back from battle. I'm not sure, but there is this raw moment, and I really like that.
Back to the future, my friend. We get Mr. Rick Rankin, Roger, who wants to establish that Jamie is alive. He's saying this like he is determined. We have understood that Roger, of course, loves history and is now totally infatuated with Brianna and can't wait to help them find a Jamie. And of course, we know from the end of season two that he finds something.
Right.
So I kind of feel like this was a little bit of a glimpse into what happened between the, you know, last couple of episodes of season two. And Brianna is telling her mom, we will find him. She has great brows. Claire is a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
whatever moisturizer Claire is wearing. I want it.
Great brows again.
And then we see...
then we see another woman.
Yeah.
This little hussy over here.
Who is this?
I don't know. She's some hussy.
She's some hussy.
Well, she. And then you see Jamie's back, which still does have all the scars, which is really good. I'm glad that they kept with that.
Then we get to see Claire touching some coins. The silver ring is now being shown as touching.
Time out. I want to go back to this.
Okay. To who?
I want to go back to the hussy.
Okay. The hussy.
Because she, in my opinion, like it looks like Jamie is almost bound in his wrists. And he is turning back, and it looks kind of hesitant. Like the way that he's standing, and the way that he's moving, it just looks like I'm not too sure about this, bro. Like I don't like this a whole ton. And he's got a perfect man bun going on, by the way. I want to say that too. But she looks like the hussy looks like she's in control. The hussy looks like I'm looking you up and down, and you're my plaything. That's how it looks to me. I'm just throwing that out there. That's all I want to say. That's all I can figure out. That's all I got. But I don't like her. I don't like her already. But I got a fantastic Outlandish Theory of the Week.
Okay.
I actually got two of them.
Then we see Claire's hand. The silver ring is being shown. She's touching old coins inside this little wooden box. Mm-hmm. Then we go back, and it's Jamie on the battlefield of what we believe, of course, to be Culloden.
And again, if they do this heightened colorization thing for the battle, mm-hmm. I would be so freaking happy if they did that, because that is a real cool creative choice. And I really hope they maintain that throughout the whole battle.
Then we get a quick glance of Frank being very cranky and
walking out.
Yeah, so Claire saying she can't go through that again. She's very cranky, too. Jamie is, you know, just gonna... I don't even know what's going on.
It looks like he's escaping a jail and, like, covering the mouth and, like, grabbing what looks to be, like, this Lord John Grey fella.
Claire running in scrubs. Damn it, Claire. How are you always so perfect? Look at
constantly.
This. Always.
Even at work.
Roger and Bree snogging. Whoa.
Definitely not friend zone.
Snagging.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Sorry, I had to do that. I thought that Roger was going to be friend zone there for a while.
Oh, not especially, for long.
You know, especially because like he's like, oh, I'm going to help find your dad, and I'm going to do all these things for you. Like, total friend zone. But apparently after this passionate kiss for Rick here, for Roger and Bree.
I always find it interesting whose nose they choose to be on the outside of the shot.
This man's got a big nose.
Not, I don't think in real life, but it's always, because someone's nose has to win or you get nose squish. And they chose
You're not going to go head up, like.
Yeah.
You can't do
that.
You're
not going to peck each other. So Roger's nose won.
Isn't he like super older than Bree?
In the books, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not like super older, but definitely would not have been in school as the same time.
Like,
as
he was already like, what, 4 or 5 when Claire
visited with Frank.
And then we got at least another what, 3 years between then?
And then Claire had
And then to, another year. So that's what? He's like 9, he's like 8 years older than she is.
Well, it's okay. Okay. It means he's mature. Here's Joe Abernathy. Many of you who got to go to Outlander in the City got to meet the actor, but we can't go into him too much because people...
He looks important, and obviously this is clearly in the future.
Yes.
The way that he looks and the way that it was framed, it seems like he is a friend of Claire's of some sort. That's the way that it looks.
Jamie, crazy, hair flying, yelling, all the veins popping out of his neck. And then... Claire on the floor.
I can't
by
tell.
By a fire.
All right, time out here. I can't tell if this is another man. Because
like, what's
think,
above her?
I don't think this is Frank. And it's definitely not Jamie because the hair is short. And it looks like this is in the past. Ooh. I don't know. That's a little risque there. I'm just throwing
that
out there.
What is that one?
I don't know who he is.
What is she wearing?
I don't know. It looks like a kimono almost, but it's obviously not. So I don't know. She's laying back, and there's a man on top of her there. Clearly, something is happening here.
I don't know if it's a man. We just think...
That's a man.
It's a Dementor. Sucking out her soul.
You're a wizard, Harry.
All right, and then we get to the document with James Fraser listed right. on it. Found him, says Claire. We're super excited. Right. Yes, and then, boom, Outlander. But that's not the end, of course. We get to see the streets of Edinburgh. Claire wearing blue. Of course she's mm-hmm. wearing blue. Just like her flipping blue vase, just like blue everything. All of season two, all the blue.
Right.
And
this is clearly in the past because later on, yes. later on they show her walking out and there's a whole bunch of people there. They're all in 1770s, 1780s clothing.
You know your clothing that well?
I do. I was a history major. Okay.
And then we see a sign, A. Malcolm, printer and bookseller. It's the first time we actually kind of see a better smile come out of Claire's face this entire trailer.
So we all know that Jamf has 46,000 names, and one of them is Alexander Malcolm. So this, to me, is... Jamie's. He is a printer and whatever the heck that other word is. What is the other word?
The bookseller.
Oh, bookseller. Okay, so it looks like Jamie has moved on in life and he can't go by his real name because he's Red Jamie, so he has to go by a different name. So he chooses his middle names to promote the fact that he's a printer and bookseller.
Who would have guessed, right?
And if you notice, in the iron... sign that he has here, there is a sign for the Freemasons right in the middle.
Okay.
Yep. Which is actually pretty cool, that which would entail Jamie being a Freemason, which would then mean he has some kind of connection to either America or an American. So maybe he has gone to the United States. I'm just throwing that out there. Who
does
knows?
He know the secret phrase? Don't say it out loud.
I'm not gonna. Maybe he knows Nicolas Cage and he's gonna go on a national treasure hunt.
What else do you see?
I see a J on the left hand side, and I actually see a C on the right hand side, on either side of the Freemason sign, and I see a bunch of fleur-de-lis, which would make sense. And then after that, it's kind of hard to tell from the rest of the pictures. I see a little bit of a cross, but after that, I don't see much more. I'm sure that there's plenty of stuff there, but that's all I can get right now.
Nice.
So that is that. And then we get to the door opening. Claire fixes her hair, and we have the little bell ringing, and boom, cut to black. And that is the trailer.
An amazing trailer at that. Both of us giving it 5 out of 5 kilts. I actually gave it 25. So what was your least favorite moment of the trailer, Blake?
Oh, geez. My least favorite moment of the trailer. I would probably say Jamie being like, hey guys, I'm home. Like, I don't know. It just kind of falls flat with me. Even though, like, he gets, you know, scooped up by the British and all that. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that. But I understand why they have to show that.
Yeah.
I get it. So I can appreciate where they're coming from. And again, if we're going on my theory, this is a early outlandish theory
God.
Here.
Here we go.
Early outlandish theory.
Mock me.
Oh, no, that's the end.
Up and try again.
Crap. Sorry. Jenny and Jamie are the ones who are in cahoots to get him caught. Because he has to get caught for her to be safe. And so he probably spends a bunch of time in captivity after Culloden. And this Lord John Grey fella here, either one...
What?
I remember this now.
Remember what?
Isn't this Lord John Grey character in season 2? And isn't he the one that Jamie lets free...
You mean season 1?
I'm sorry. No, season 2. Isn't it season 2? Yeah, it's season 2, isn't it? Where he lets him free and he saves his life or something like that.
What?
I'm just telling you.
I'm just saying interesting.
Okay, so and if that's the case, then this guy owes Jamie a huge solid.
I'm just looking away, but you don't know that that's really him, and I probably shouldn't have said his name.
No, I remember. I remember us speaking about it during that episode. Okay, I get it now. All right, okay. So, yes, this guy owes Jamie a huge solid. So I wonder if they're in cahoots too. And I wonder if they do it so that... okay. That's my feeling.
What was your favorite moment of the trailer?
Oh, Frank. Easily.
Like what moment of Frank? There were several.
No, talking about the bargain. Being like, the bargain was we were going to do this and you would never let me in. Just his face. Like that was clearly that to me is the high water point of the trailer. And it's funny that it comes in the beginning of the trailer. But it highlights the emotional impact of what they're trying to accomplish in season three. And I cannot, again, reiterate this enough. When you have to rely on gimmicks to make your trailer and make your season look good, you know you have a problem. And I think that was what... I'm not sure they knew they had a problem in season two, but I'm confident they feel more confident in this season. And they're rooting everything in the conflict between Jamie and Claire and Frank. The whole thing, it's founded around them. That is really special. So I have much higher expectations for this season, especially knowing how season two ended and how it ended up after seeing the season two trailer. Again, it was lipstick on a pig. This is not. This is perfection. And I'm all in. I'm 100% all in on season
three.
Sign
me up.
I'm ready to go.
September 10th, we're ready.
All right, so what is your least favorite moment of this trailer?
Didn't I already say it?
No, you didn't. You got to have one. Is it the same thing as me? Is it, hey guys, I'm home? Or
no.
Is it the hussy?
No.
No, it's not the hussy?
No.
Are you just going to say you like the whole thing?
Possibly.
Is it Claire's crazy hair?
No.
Or did you like that most? Did you like Claire's crazy hair most?
No, I didn't like her hair most.
All right, what did you like most then? What's your favorite moment of this trailer?
Gosh. No.
Come on, I can only rescue you here for so long.
Frank looking off by the firelight was so sad. God, you know, here's how you just said Frank, and I know this is going to piss a lot of people off because they're like, it should be the end of the book. Yes, the print shop. Yes, the print shop. But for the trailer alone, I am most impressed by how much I felt for Frank.
Okay.
So I think if I had to pick a moment, it would be the shirtless moment because I
skin
feel
like skin.
The skin
Hashtag
on skin. Like it's not even that he's not wearing a shirt, but I'm just really excited that possibly he was trying to be like a new age dad doing skin to skin contact, getting the endorphins.
Yeah, I don't think that
was just
that
me
was
copping
happening.
Out. It was a five.
That's a total cop out. That's a total effing cop out.
I know.
But I love you still.
I know. But, you know, if anything, I like how they kept showing the rings.
All right. So
you saw a gold ring. You got to see a silver ring.
Are you ready for my outlandish theory of the week? The real ones?
You didn't do it? Sure. Go for it.
Okay. Ready? Here we go. All right. So the first one that I got, as Mary bangs her head on the mic.
That was not classy.
The first one that I got is Claire is telling the story of Outlander to Brianna. And that is why she is right before she leaves. And that's why when Claire is saying, I left behind everything that ever mattered to me or whatever like that. Or it was the hardest thing that I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And I can't go through it again. She, in my opinion, is having a conversation with Brianna. And all of the voiceovers that we've had are Claire telling the story to Brianna, telling her, this is why I have to leave. This is why I have to go back, because all of this happened and I need you to understand. It's not about you. It's not about Frank. It's about, this is where I belong. And she's trying to make Brianna understand. Mm-hmm. So that is one of my outlandish theories of the week.
One.
Second one.
Two.
The hussy over here.
Do the hustle.
The hussy, not a big fan. And something is up with her. And it seems like... Are you done?
Yeah.
You want to get it out?
No.
Okay. The hussy feels like she is taking advantage of Jamie. However, I do not feel like after however long Claire spends with Frank and Brianna, which could be, what, as many as 20 years? That's the way that it seems. Jamie is going to have to move on. And like I said last season, I think Jamie is moving on and he's getting married to leg hair.
AKA, they
don't introduce that character early on just to have her be a foil to Claire. Something else is up with leg hair. And
can you call her Leary?
No, I can't because her name's leg hair to me.
I know.
And that's a big thing for me. So the hussy.
Sticking to it.
The hussy is not Jamie's new girl. Leg hair is still Jamie's girl. And the final one that I got, this is, and I hate to say this.
Tell me. Oh my God, I'm so excited. What is it?
This is the final season of Tobias Menzies on Outlander. Final season. Because Frank dies. And I have got a feeling. I've got a feeling that Blackjack gets wrapped up within the first two or three episodes.
Interesting.
And as such, I don't see much more of a story for Frank once this season ends.
Well, my fair non-book reading friend, you'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, bonus material.
What?
Bonus one.
Oh my God, four?
Who
knew a 1.5 minute trailer could do this?
Oh my God. I just had a brain fart. I lost my outlandish theory of the week, the fourth one. Oh crap.
Well, let's close out the show.
All right, I'm gonna remember it like 10 minutes from now. I'm gonna be pissed. Here it is. I got it. The Claire and Jamie reunion, I think, is going to be a great one because clearly they are showing they're going to be reunited, which kind of angers me a little bit. I don't want to see that. I don't want to know. This seems like it's more of an Easter egg for book readers, mm-hmm. which is fine. I'm okay with that.
It's after the yeah.
It's an Easter egg, and this trailer was not full of Easter eggs like season two was, which is fine. And actually, I appreciate that. But I feel like since they're tipping their hand that they're going to be reunited, the reunion won't be, in my opinion, until probably episode 5-ish, because they're going to have to show Claire in her life in Boston. They're going to have to show her relationship fall apart with Frank. They're going to have to show Brianna growing up. They're going to have to show Claire describing the situation to Brianna. They're going to have to show them trying to find Jamie. And then they're also going to have to show Jamie in Culloden with Lord John Grey here, because he's obviously being held captive, maybe possibly escaping, which is probably why he has to go by a different name, and probably why there is a Mason sign there, and probably why he's no longer in Scotland, probably why he's in maybe the United States, because he's moved on. He's getting away from the British. So that would make sense to me. So I'm betting my bottom dollar that we're going to get a reunion between the two in either episode 5 or I would say maybe 6. And that might be a little bit of a heartbreaker for all of those who are book readers and even the show watchers, because you're going to be separating the two main characters for half the season. That's a big deal.
Yes.
That's a huge deal. So I'm just throwing that out there. So those are all four of my outlandish theories of the week.
Very interesting. That's all I can say.
Bonnie Prince, what do you got for me?
Mock me.
Please hang up and try again.
Final thoughts for this trailer, my darling. Got anything? You want to say anything to the listeners?
Love it. I wonder if more's coming. I'm so excited. And if you're excited, I just want to say high five.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in. I blew my load on the outlandish theory of the week, so I can't go any further. You ready to close it out, my darling?
You bet.
All right, let's do it. So, as we close out this wonderful Emmy Award-winning, Marconi-nominated episode of Outlander Cast, we wanted to let you know that Outlander Cast is brought to you by you guys, our potential and our amazing patrons. Your contributions help make this show possible, and we recently hit our goal that make me a reader of the first book, only the first book of the Outlander series. So from the bottom of my heart, and I speak for Mary here, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And of course, if you would like to become a patron of Outlander Cast and you feel like we are a good enough value for you in your Outlander experience, and you want to hear my chapter by chapter analysis of the book Outlander, the first one only, I will never compromise this podcast.
Okay, yes.
And you want to receive benefits like getting episodes before wide releases or monthly chats with Mary and Blake, getting free Outlander t-shirts or having access to our show notes that we have for every single episode. And trust me, they are classic. Please do consider donating a dollar or two to patreon.com/OutlanderCast today.
We want to especially thank Ann Gavin, Bobby Francella, Peg Cumby, Keelan Dow, Meredith Greenberg, Liz Turner, Dana Mott Bronson, Nikki Gastineau, Lauren Hutton, Heather Marr, and Marilyn Neenan.
Yes, they have all donated so much money that they required, it's good form to mention
them. It is
them.
A reward that we thank them.
I know, but they
keep drinking, Blake.
I know.
Keep
I've been drinking wine this whole thing.
Guys,
so
thank you. 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 So excited.
Yes.
And if you're excited and if you're bored still during Droughtlander, I want you to head on over to the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering Facebook page. We have some friends who are at the San Diego Comic Con giving you behind the scenes insight. You need to be a clan member to get all of that. So join up for that. Sign up for our newsletter. You can do that on our website, outlandercast.com, just by following us on Twitter. You'll find things like that. And thanks, guys. We're excited. September 10th is coming.
And if you do hear this, and you do think we're a good enough value for your Outlander experience, many people do say, please review us, yada, yada, yada. Yes, reviews are great. And if you do want to review us on iTunes and you want to give us whatever star rating that you think we deserve, thank you. I appreciate that. But please, the most important thing you can do for Mary and I and all of us at Outlander Cast, the blog and this podcast, tell a friend that we exist.
Tell a friend.
Just tell a friend about this episode. Like, oh my God, I heard this freaking jabroni talking about the trailer, and I couldn't believe he got this right, or he was way wrong.
That jabroni.
Listen to this. Just share this episode with a friend, and then have them share with a friend, and then 10 friends share it, and then we're like the most popular podcast on this planet.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be nice? Only in our dreams, my darling.
Yes.
Even though we're Emmy Award winning, and actually we have the Marconi, it's on the way.
Oh, okay.
We do. It's coming.
Okay.
That's important. So that's it. Just share it with a friend. So, my darling, are you ready to end it?
Yeah.
All right. You're looking at me like, yeah, obviously.
Of course.
All right. That is the end.
Until next time, folks, I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.